Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest. You know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, first things first, there's a lot I want to get into today, including what's going on at Raiders HQ. We'll get into some head-to-head later in the show. But first things first, dude, this week has really kind of kicked off in earnest anyway. I mean, there have been topics, but it's really starting to come into focus, NFL trade rumors, because the NFL trade deadline is, of course, November 5th. So we're still a month out from the deadline, but the rumors are running rampant, and the Broncos, now that they're at 2-2, you know, the NFL, Zach, doesn't know what to make of them. Are they going to be sellers? Are they going to perhaps be buyers? I'm not sure they're in a position really to be buyers, but the NFL continuously cranking out rumors this week, specifically highlighting Zach Wilson as a player to watch, which when you look at, as far as I'm concerned, Zach, that's why they kept him. You had an article for us amongst, I think I had one yesterday too. Yep. Break down what they're saying about Zach Wilson as a trade piece.
In the NFL, one thing I've consistently learned is that quarterbacks are always in demand, especially reclamation projects like Zach Wilson. That's why the Broncos took a chance on him. Look at Sam Darnold in Minnesota. So the trade interest is generating here. You had one linking the Rams based on a Dan Graziano from ESPN report. I had one that connected Wilson to the Rams as well, but also the New York Giants behind Daniel Jones and former Broncos starter Drew Lock, who's I think currently injured. So I don't know if they are going to trade him. I think Sean Payton wants to hang on to him to see what he can do going forward. Jarrett Stidham has no trade value. If they were to move Zach Wilson, they would save about $2.7 million. Is that worth it, or would Payton want to hang on to his guy? We shall find out by November 5th, Chad.
Indeed, and there's a lot to like if you're one of these quarterback needy teams that Zach just mentioned in terms of Zach Wilson, because a lot of them are going to say, man, we always liked this kid coming out, went number two overall in the 2021 draft. The same old thing, you know, if we could have just got him in our scheme, well, here he is available. And not only that, there is some empirical evidence. Is it proof? No, but evidence that with proper coaching, he could actually be something. He looked pretty good, especially, Zach, the last couple games of the preseason. So the NFL, it turns, right? It continues to not really surprise us, and then at other times completely shock you. But Zach Wilson, that's a situation to keep an eye on. Another name floating around, a couple of them, but I'm going to throw the main other, we'll say the number two hottest name being floated as a trade piece in the rumor mill is DJ Jones, who has started all four games, Broncos nose tackle. They paid him all that money. His first year as a Bronco coming over from the Niners. I think he, for the most part, lived up to the contract. Last year was a big step back. This year, Zach, he's being consistently outshined by Malcolm Roach. And then the Broncos have a little depth this time around. I mean, you've got Jackson. You have Matt Henningsen chilling on the practice squad along with Uwazurike. I mean, you got some options out there. Could you see DJ Jones being dealt?
Yeah, I was surprised the Broncos brought back Jones earlier this year to begin with on that the restructure, pay cut, whatever it was. I think he's a little over the hill, and I don't think he ever lived up to the contract the Broncos gave him initially, Chad. And as you mentioned, Malcolm Roach is outplaying him. Everyone on the defensive line from John Franklin Myers, especially Zach Allen, who's playing at an all-pro level, pretty much all the starters and all the frontline people are shining. The one guy you haven't heard, as you mentioned, is DJ Jones. So if they can get a mid-round pick for him, clear some salary off the books, I'm cool with it.
Hey, let's give some shouts to the Papa Bear jumping in early before we went live, as is his way, with a super chat. Thank you, brother. He says, good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Hashtag God bless the USA. 10-7 plus. Buckham times three. MHH for life. Broncos for life. SEAL Team Knicks. Let's go, Bo. I like the let's go, Bo. That's a good one, too. And it's interesting because coming out of the meet and greet, Zach, there were some kind of snorts of derision, let's say, at optimists in the fan base like the Papa Bear. Even the night of the game, the gut reaction following Broncos Steelers, the notion that that team could actually be any kind of a plus 500 threat, you know, compete for the playoffs. A lot of people were writing that off, and yet here we are now, 2 weeks later. They balanced the scales. The Broncos are sitting at 500, and it kind of feels like maybe they could be poised to start putting some things together offensively to where this thing could really, really come together.
Yeah, it was early back then, and it's still early now. It's only week five. A lot of season left to be played, and I don't know if they're going to go 10-7, David. I don't know if they're going to go 7-10 anywhere in the middle. They very well could. We'll learn a lot about this team, Chad, the next couple weeks, because this is the first game this season coming up Sunday that they should win. If you want to be a playoff team, you have to win the games you should win. This is a team you haven't beaten in the Raiders. That's decimated. They're in flux right now. A lot of frantic stuff going on. You should win this game. So we'll know more about the potential record, I think, soon enough.
And think about this. The streak. Remember the meme? Nobody beats the Broncos 17 times in a row when we finally, when Sean Payton finally got over the hump last year. Well, wrap your brain around this. The Raiders' winning streak over the Broncos is already at half that mark, which is like blows your mind that this era of the Raiders, even though it's in tandem with this era of the Broncos, 8 straight victories, it boggles the mind. It's time to snap that streak. Sam Bam, what's good, brother? Much love and respect. Thank you for also jumping in before we even went live with a generous super chat. There's a reason you're a superstar, big dog. It says, evening, guys. Looking forward to the Broncos finally beating the Las Vegas Raiders and Bo Nix getting his first career home win this Sunday. Go Broncos. Zach, tomorrow, of course, we will unveil the MHH roundtable. Your boy here has not fared well. In fact, I'm thinking about perhaps injecting if I didn't think people would be upset about it, like some people might say, no, we want to read it. I would probably implement out of the gates that at the quarter pole of a season in the round table, if you have not picked a correct game for the Broncos, you're out. Like you're no one listens to your predictions anymore, because when you're sitting at 0-4, you know, the first game, I'm like, no way. I'm going to go ahead and lean into the optimism, Broncos over Seahawks. Welp. Then Steelers. It's like, hey, MHH meet and greet. We're undefeated. I'm not really scared of Justin Fields. All it takes is like basically one productive offensive drive that scores a touchdown. You could probably win this game. I'm picking the Broncos. Welp, 0-2. Then you saw what you saw in those two games as far as the offensive showing. It's like there's no way you're going into red hot Tampa and winning that game. Psych. Victory. And then similar thing, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got the Jets. Broncos came up short in the revenge game last year. I'm like, ah, you know what, I'm just not seeing it. I'll pick the Jets to try and actually get on the board, even though I was kind of feeling the Broncos coming off the win. That's the pickle you get into. But here I am sitting at 0-4. Meanwhile, Zach, you picked correctly last week, so you're on the board finally. You're 1-3. I'm 0-4. Man, it's been a tough first quarter picking the Broncos.
Tell you what, Chad, I'll make you a deal. You pick the Broncos with me to win this week, and if they lose, I'll take your loss for you. That's how confident I am they're going to win this game. There is no reason. I know it's a divisional game. We'll get into the head-to-head at the end of the podcast tonight, but there's really no reason the Broncos should lose this at home, coming off two potentially season-saving victories, excuse me. And again, with a Raiders team that's falling apart at the seams, no more Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr is no longer around, Max Crosby might not play, Davante Adams is out. There is no reason, even as bad the Broncos looked in weeks one and two, they should lose this one. So pick them with me, Chad.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out tomorrow, guys. Lots more to get to, including Super Chats, your comments. I want to talk about specifically what's going on with the Raiders. But first, guys, we got to remind you that this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows, every dude under the sun, that unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if we told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience that beautiful feeling?
That's right. Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every single time. Head on over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping.
That's right, everybody. Get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping, as Zach mentioned, using our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off plus free shipping with our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. All right, we dive back in. Victor Espinoza with a couple of, super chat jumping in saying, yo, hey, gang. Thank you, by the way, Victor. You're the man. I'm a new sub. I've been watching for a bit now. Welcome to the manger, brother. We're happy to have you. Thank you for helping support the cause. We'll see. See if you can become a super chat superstar. I have a feeling that you might be. He's saying, love MHH. We love you too, big dog. Living in KC currently. And our Our defense has Chiefs fans nervous. Love to see it. MHH for life. No doubt about it, Zach. This defense has been the factor that has kept the Broncos relevant. Like, it's kept them, it's bought Bo Nix and Sean Payton time to figure out their foibles. And it's more than just like a tight, overachieving defense. Like, there's something actually quite interesting happening with this defense that I can't wait to see if it kind of builds and grows. But, dude, this is a – I mean, they're shutting everybody down.
VJ talked about it today, the fact they only have one first-round pick starting on that defense. And I give him a ton of credit because that means coaching and schematics are going into where the Broncos rank, which is top five across the board pretty much. They're running the highest rate of man coverage, you know, single high – cover zero, Chad, and they have the second most sacks in the NFL. They're leading the way in points allowed against the pass, DVOA. They're only a little susceptible on the ground, but otherwise the defense is playing great, and that coincides, Victor, with the Chiefs offense. You lost Pacheco, and I know because I have him on my fantasy team, unfortunately. You lost Rashee Rice because of Mahomes, and Mahomes isn't playing at the same, you know, pace as he was a few years ago, and the Broncos beat the Chiefs last season with VJ's defense. So I'm not saying they're going to win, Victor, but I'm not going to count the Broncos out if this defensive pace keeps up.
We also have Victor's Gaming checking in. What's up, brother? Thank you for the super, saying, hey, Priest, this has to be the week we get rid of that ugly losing streak to the Raiders. Gotta trust Bo. I think this is the game that Bo starts padding the stats a little bit. I'm not necessarily, Zach, saying, you know, 350 and four touchdowns, or, you know, it'll take maybe a little more time. But I'm saying, like, in the couple of hundreds and multiple passing touchdowns. Like, I think that could be feasible against a team like the Raiders, because look, Max Crosby has been a thorn consistently in the side of the Broncos. He's one of the reasons, heavy emphasis on the, for this eight game winning streak, right? Well, the good news for Broncos fans and Alex Palcheski is he missed last week, did Crosby. He missed Wednesday's practice. He missed today's practice. So in tandem, Zach, with, I mean, basically the Raiders are looking at staring down the barrel of facing the Broncos on the road, despite the eight-game winning streak, without arguably their two best players on each side of the ball. That's got to make an impact. That's got to be something that to reference what Victor's saying here, Bo Nix and got and company have to be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and a coach who's mired in a NCAA scandal now, apparently, or something along those lines. Again, there's no reason, and we'll get into the head-to-heads. If you look at the Raiders' defense, aside from Max Crosby, you cannot name, and I guess Christian Wilkins, one other notable player on that defense, and they're not even, you know, overachieving for Antonio Pierce, a defensive-minded head coach. So I agree with what Colby's saying here. Appreciate you, Colby, as always. I'm going to need the Priest if we lose this week. Go Broncos. Hopefully Bo knows we need to beat the Raiders. And he does. He says it. He said it yesterday in his press conference. It's going to be an intense game. They can get after the quarterback. They have speed, yada, yada. And he knows they have to bring it because anything can happen, Chad, in an AFC West grudge match. And it is his first one in the NFL.
Well, Colby, listen, brother. We are your football priests. Each and every week, we're here to offer you the absolution and the answers to your burning Broncos questions. And sometimes, and all too often, Zach, the last few years, we've been here to also help exorcise the demons. I don't think you're going to have to worry about those demons this week. I really don't. I think it's going to be more about the excitement of things coming together and Bo Nix and the offense clicking. Because it's not just, Zach, that Bo Nix overcame an historically terrible first half against the Jets. I mean, I don't want to make too much of it, right? He finished with 60 passing yards, but overcame a historically bad first half. You get down, 87-yard touchdown drive, ends up gets his first passing score of his career, ends up being the difference maker in that game. But in tandem with Bo kind of finding his way through that torrential downpour and like figuring some things out, learning some lessons, Zach, you have Javonte Williams getting back on the horse. You have Jaleel McLaughlin kind of getting back on the horse. So those things combined have me feeling really good. Michaela Parker, the Duchess, jumping in.
Thank you, Michaela.
She says, we will get a BOGO. Bo, outstanding, great offense. LOL. Beat the Raiders. I love it.
Probably going to get that at Walmart, too. Some great value BOGOs there. But, yeah, Michaela, I mean, that's the mantra, and I know we say it every year, and it's true because there are bitter rivals, but you gotta end the streak. It's early enough now where the Broncos can reshape their season, Chad. We counted them out after the first couple weeks, but if they go 3-2 here, it's a new ball game, and they can very well do that, and they should do that this Sunday.
Man, 3-2 after five games. How long has it been since the Broncos were in such a position? Like, I don't have the information right in front of me, but I know it wasn't last year.
2021, probably. They started 3-0.
That's true. So not as far back as maybe my mind's eye had buried things.
Yeah, but then what happened, though, after that, you know?
Brutality. Yeah. Well, it all fell apart, Zach, when Vic Fangio failed to give Drew Block that happy birthday and instead gave the props to Teddy. All right. George Fox, bro, this is one of the two that we need to win. Then people will take a second look at Denver. So let's go and beat the Raiders. Bronx for life, Images for life. Hit the thumbs up. I think more than anything, and thank you, George, it's just about getting to plus 500 and snapping the streak. Yeah. Like, the streak is secondary to the – I mean, both come as a result of the ultimate objective, which is winning the game. So the first objective is win the game, get to plus 500, you're 3-2. And if you do that, Zach, it just so happens you break this ignominious 8-game losing streak to historically your most hated rival.
When Sean Payton was hired, everyone cautioned against the Super Bowl right away and letting him build the culture and the process and everything like that. There were incremental steps. It was winning more games than his predecessor. Check. It was beating the Chiefs for the first time in forever. Check. And this year, not only are you developing a rookie quarterback, but one of those markers is ending the streak against the Raiders. And I think we're going to check that box as well on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, George. Appreciate you, big dog. We also have here Lawrence saying, Travis Hunter putting Broncos on notice. Let's lose out, Zach.
Yeah, so basically he did some interview, I think today or recently, where he said he wants to go play for the Broncos. And it's... Broncos would love to have him. I'd love to have Travis Hunter as a superstar at Colorado, but unless they're picking in the top five, which I don't think they will be in the end, they're not going to have a chance at him.
I hope not. Going on the road, winning two games on the East Coast back-to-back doesn't strike me as a team settling into a tank posture. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to make something of this season. Like, the Walton Penner ownership group. I still haven't forgotten this. Greg Penner, following his first full season as the ownership of the Broncos, sitting there at the podium saying, "We apologize to our fans, and we're going to do this is not status quo for us. We're going to do everything we can to deliver a winning product." And so, you know, a season in the NFL, Zach, is like an eternity. A lot of things can happen. It really is a war of attrition. But I don't see this team, even though there were some markers for it early on, I don't see this team. Maybe if the defense wasn't as legit, you know, you're gonna see the ups and downs of a rookie quarterback, regardless of how well things shake out. He's gonna have his ups and downs. He's gonna have his learning moments. He's gonna step on the rake. Remember, oh, it's in that part of the yard. I'm not gonna go over there. I'm gonna go over here. Those kind of things are gonna happen regardless of whether they're winning or losing the games. What you hope and what you expect is that by virtue of his experience, his relative football IQ and talent, Sean Payton's experience and wherewithal, that you can microwave those moments. But still, Zach, without that defense, 0-2, the way this team started and the complexion of how the offense was looking, a top five finish, well, that's kind of where people's minds started to go. You know, I mean, I'm thinking of the Nick Kendall, Eric Trickle, both of them had a couple of different draft articles, for example, Zach, in the media aftermath of Steelers, talking about the draft, like, all right, that's how this is going. Let's talk about the top 10.
If the defense plays like they did against the Buccaneers, they can beat anyone in the NFL. If they play like they did last week, the whole team, they can hang with anyone in the NFL. There is a lot of ball game left. And Travis Hunter, to me, is more likely. I'll tell you where he might go is New England, a team that's not going to go anywhere this season, probably another top five pick. You have no weapons around the franchise quarterback you selected, who's still on the bench, stupidly, by the way. That's a team that's going to finish in the top five. I can't see Denver with the defense playing the way they are, like Chad said, and the offense will steadily get better. I can't see them being in Travis Hunter territory.
Chris Chances is taking his chances, dropping a super chat. Thank you, bro. Appreciate you. Always great to see you. And yes, indeed, only a Sith deals in absolutes. Isn't it ironic? Quick tangent. I get a kick out of this. Maybe it's because, you know, I like words and stuff, but isn't it interesting that the Jedi lecture about Siths deal, only Siths deal in absolutes, is in fact itself an absolute. Only is an absolute. Denver's defense is legit. Someone inform Lord Vader. He will be pleased. Hashtag best in the business. Hashtag Bo Vader. I love it, dude. Thank you, Chris. You're scratching my Star Wars itch for the day. I appreciate you, big dog.
Thank you, Chris. And yeah, I mean, more and more as the weeks go by, as they seem for real and all this, the stats and the data indicates it, I'm eating more crow about VJ, who I've absolutely trashed since he was rehired by the Broncos. But I always said I would, Chad. I hope he proved me wrong. And so far entering week five, he definitely has.
I got to tell you, though, here's a little fun fact about your boy. When I was a teenager, I always loved riding. There's a reason I'm doing what I do. You know, I ended up being Broncos and stuff. But when I was a teenager, one of my life's ambitions, I was a big reader, still am, but back then, you know, this was before they started, Zach, doing the prequels where you had the Anakin Skywalker story. In fact, the very line of dialogue Chris is quoting here. Before that, all you had was nearly a 20-year window of no motion pictures. This is before streaming. There was no TV shows. All you had was the what they called at the time the expanded universe, so books, okay? So the story went on post Return of the Jedi. If so long as you're reading the books, you find out what becomes of Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia and all that stuff. And my life's ambition then, one of them, was I wanted to become a Star Wars fan, not fan fiction, but a Star Wars fiction writer. I never really got into writing novels, though. It was kind of a temporary thing, but that's how much I'm kind of a geek for Star Wars.
Yeah, I never, that's one thing where we kind of just always never intersected, Chad. It's always been your thing. So
Zach's like, nerdery, dude, nerdery.
I got my own. People would think that the interest I have, people would think I'm a nerd as well. So everyone has their own thing.
But I'll tell you one thing I've been nerding out on of late. In fact, Scott and Zach are tired of hearing me say this. Every time I jump on for the stream, I'm like, dude, UFC. Even my wife, I told her the other day that I'm like, now a UFC fan. She's like, what, you? Because I've never had, Zach, any interest in fighting. you know, martial arts, mixed martial arts, combat, whatever you want to call it. Never been interesting to me. Till I watched Conor McGregor, you know, here we're talking about mixing things. Conor McGregor documentary. Now I'm like obsessed with it. I still have never actually watched a live UFC, but I'm into it. So, all right. We're at the 24-minute mark. Should we take some time and do the head-to-head?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do this. Lawrence Hunter next to PS2 and Sutton would be dirty. Absolutely it would, Zach. But, I mean, for what it's worth, you're getting some production out of your cornerback crew right now. Riley Moss, Jaquan McMillan. All right. Zeebo, what's up, bro? Down in Australia. What's up, brother? So good to see you. So I got to watch Broncos Raiders at Oakland in early 03. It was so satisfying watching the Broncos come out winners from the black hole with throwbacks, throwback week time to make history repeat. Yeah, 03, let's see, 03, 04, 05. Was 03 the first Jake Plummer year? Now I gotta Google it. I gotta Google it. Hold on, hang tight. So Jake Plummer, yeah, that was the first Plummer year. So yeah. And that was back, Zach, when you could hand the ball off to Chad Jensen, and I'm getting 1,000 yards behind that O-line and Mike Shanahan back then. But, yeah, dude, are you excited to see the throwbacks?
They are the most elite uniform in professional football. I wish the Broncos made that their primaries, but what can you do? I'm definitely excited to see those. And 2003 at Oakland, those were the old the baseball field that was right in the middle. Yeah. They have the diamond in the middle of the field. Very on brand for a team like the Raiders. FTR.
The old Coliseum. But yeah, man, that was a good year from what I recall. I mean, first 2 years, 03, 04 of Plummer, Broncos make the playoffs, but just get utterly destroyed and blasted in the wild card by Peyton Manning and the Colts, which is why, even though it never rose, Zach, quite to the antipathy and hatred that Broncos fans had for Tom Brady, it was really kind of a paradigm shift to think that Peyton Manning's coming to Denver, because he's, you want to talk Darth Vader, he was Denver's Darth Vader at that time, could just never get over the hump versus Peyton Manning. I mean, whether it was the regular season or the playoffs, man, he had Denver's number, and then he comes to Denver and, you know, changes the game. So really, really interesting those times. But all right, let's do some head-to-head. Here we are, week five. I'm really curious, Zach, to see if the PR department has gotten its P's and Q's together with some of the typos and just weird stuff that we have seen. So I'm going to click over to the sheet. Zach, you'll have to tell me, how is it looking? Are we looking all right?
Perfect.
I can't get it any bigger than that for what it's worth. So here we go. Awesome. Green designation means top 10. Red means bottom 10 in terms of rankings. Both teams sitting at 2-2. Turnover margin, Broncos are -2, which is bottom third. Raiders, though, are -4, also bottom third. So, but they're tied for 29th. Time of possession, these guys are about the same. We look at these offenses, though. It's gonna get a little bit ugly here. The Broncos are the 27th yards per game offense. Scoring, they're 28th. Let's see, rushing. Hey, there's a black. That's nice. We got a black signification there. Tied for 20th. Passing yards, though, woeful, right? It's been brutal. And, of course, the rain kind of skewed that, but it's just been the way the cookie has crumbled. Bo Nix yet to kind of find his groove. The only kind of green you see for the Broncos, anyway, is Bo Nix stubborn about getting sacked. You know, what's ironic about this is you fast forward 1 year or even like one quarter of a season, two of the sacks he's taken, maybe even three of them, wouldn't have happened. He would have thrown the ball away instead of running out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage, self-sacking, and just not having that presence of mind. But still, they're tied for first, the fewest sacks allowed, Zach. And then you look over here at the Raiders. This is yet the 24th net yards offense scoring. They are 19th, so slightly better. well, not slightly, quite a lot better than the Denver Broncos, actually. I mean, it's almost a touchdown better than the Broncos. And then, look, they're fumbling. They're getting picked off. They can't convert on third down. The red zone, though, Zach, they're scoring 7 touchdowns on 7 out of 10 possessions that reach inside the 20. So what are some of your observations here?
The sacks, we'll say hi to D-Dub first. $25 super. Thank you so much, D-Dub. MHH legend. Appreciate you as always. Dale says, Jets, one of, if not the best D-line in the league. They dropped the QB 7 times the week before, by the way. So did we. 0 sacks against us. This has a lot to do with Knicks. Our coaching staff across the board is doing very well. Everything you said is spot on there. I pointed it out on, I think, the gut reaction, but he hasn't been sacked since week 2. Bo Nix hasn't. 4 sacks on the season. Russell Wilson last year was sacked 7 times in week 2 alone. So you see why Sean Payton wanted a quarterback to fit his system. Can we throw up the rankings? Just want to say something really quickly about the
Raiders. Yeah, I love you, bro. Thank you, bud.
The only reason they're in any sort of black because their offense is putrid with either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell is because they had Devontae Adams, who's out. They had Zamir White, the running back, who is injured. I don't know if he's going to play. And they have Brock Bowers, who they drafted a pick after Bo Nix. I wonder, Chad, if they're regretting that a little bit by this point, just a little bit. But you severely limit an already limited offense, and this is why I'm saying the Broncos defense should feast, and then we'll scroll down and see the Raiders defense, and the Broncos offense should feast, quite frankly.
Look at all this greenery. If you didn't know any better, you'd think you were in Colorado. Get it? We're talking defense, second, tied for second in yards allowed. Yards per play, first. Points per game, 13.8. That's third in the NFL. Rushing, they're just outside the top 10 at number 12. Passing, though, third best passing defense. This is kind of where things need to pick up a little, I think. Some floodgates need to open with the takeaways. You got 2 interceptions so far this season, but that has been offset with 3 fumble recoveries. That gives them 5 takeaways through 4 games. That puts them in the top 10. Sacks, Zach, I got to tell you, dude, this is like one of the biggest surprises for me through the quarter poll. The Broncos, if you would have said, you know, what are the chances the Broncos are going to be ranked in the top 3 in sacks through a quarter of the season, I would have been like very low. And if it's true, it's because Baron Browning like turned a corner or something. No, dude. No, that's not been the case. They haven't had Baron Browning. It's kind of been a takes a village kind of thing, but everyone's feasting a little bit, Zach. Second in sacks with 16, third best third down defense, second best tied for red zone defense. And then meanwhile, you look at the Raiders, and it's nothing but, Zach, black and red. Until you get to third down, they've managed to be pretty disciplined and effective on third down.
What I love about the Broncos sack total is that so many people are getting in on the action. You're getting it from Zach Allen. You're getting it from Jonathan Cooper. You're getting it from Jonah Ellis. You're getting it from PJ Locke, who decked Aaron Rodgers last week. So VJ is pressing all the right buttons right now, and it's so beautiful to see so much green. But look at the other side for Vegas. That's with, except for last week, Max Crosby, one of the best defenders in the NFL. You take him out, and even if he plays, he's going to be hobbled. They just don't do much right. That front 7 minus Crosby minus Christian Wilkins is forgettable. That secondary is awful. If there's a week for a Broncos offensive coming out party, it is this Sunday at Empower Field, Chad, in the throwbacks.
Especially if Max Crosby ends up not playing. And I would say right now it's like 60-40. He doesn't play. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, it's a near virtual guarantee almost. Not quite, but almost, that he doesn't play. And by the way, we're talking about celebrating the great Randy Gradishar's Hall of Fame enshrinement. Yes. You're in the throwback, the very uniform he wore for his 10-year or whatever it was. I think it was 10-year NFL career. No way you can lose that game. You just got to 500. The Raiders have an 8-game winning streak. This is where the buck stops. All right, let's take a look at special teams. Just, Zach, when I was starting to, like, really feel good about Riley Dixon, he has that shank against the Jets, and I'm going, see? Oh, man. And then also for the reigning special teams player of the week, Will Lutz misses that one. You're like in the clutch. It's like, oh man, thank God Greg the Leg missed his, or else we'd be singing a different tune. We'd be staring down the barrel of 1-3. But that's neither here nor there because it happened. He missed. Broncos won. But look at this. You got a net punting. You're ranked 8th. Punt return average against you. We have the 5th best punt return coverage unit. But unfortunately, Marvin Mims, Zach, punt return average is 5th. Okay. No, that's against. That's against. Punt return average is 16th. Marvin Mims is kind of yet to get going in that department. Now, as our return and our coverage teams, pretty solid, but we haven't seen quite yet, Zach, that duplication running it back of the all-pro punt returner / kick returner yet. Meanwhile, the Raiders, they're pretty disciplined in the third phase themselves, second gross punting, second net, not so good in the return game, but your thoughts on specials?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, for as much talk as there was about the new kickoff rules and how that could benefit Marvin Mims and Sean Payton, look at the numbers right there, 26th in the NFL in return average. So we want to see that big breakaway, gainer from Marvin Mims. They'll get that average up, but you're right, Riley Dixon, besides last week, has been consistent. Will Lutz, besides last week, and I'll give him a pass on that driving rain, has been consistent. I have been very pleased with this side of the ball.
Agreed. Penalties. The Broncos have committed 27th, which puts them in the middle of the pack. They're tied for 17th. Meanwhile, the Raiders have only committed 17. So kind of cutting against the traditional tropes of being the dirty team, right? The Raiders, the Pillagers, the Swashbucklers, the Rebels. No, they're pretty disciplined, actually. They're not getting penalized. Second fewest penalties. Meanwhile, they're figuring out ways to trigger their opponents into lapses. They have the 10th most opponent penalties committed. Meanwhile, the Broncos have the 3rd most, so they're even better at getting their opponents to lapse. Now, last week, Zach, it was a little bit of an outlier because of the rain and the slop fest that created. And the Jets, man, they just kept stepping on their own you-know-what. Like, they could not get out of their own way.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I wrote the article for anyone who read it about Rodgers talking about it being an outlier and the weather impacting his performance. And it's very sour grapesy to me, Chad, very salty. But I wonder how the Broncos would rank penalty-wise really quickly if they didn't get some of the worst officiating in the last couple weeks, especially that week 2 game against the Steelers. It was ridiculous.
Look at that beautiful. I love how they made the game capsule this week with the throwback logos and stuff. It's cool. I just want to take a quick glimpse here real quick, and then we'll get back to the chat. I'll start at the top. So this Raiders team has already gone through a quarterback change and back. Minshew leads with 877 passing yards, Zach. Meanwhile, Nix has been all 4 games, not missed a snap, 660. Aiden O'Connell, though, 82. Rushing yards, Pookie leads Nix finally. I mean, Nix was the team's leading rusher till Williams finally had himself a day, and it didn't really happen, Zach, till the second half of that Jets game. But over in Vegas, you got White with 152. So a little bit more production from an individual running back than the Broncos. Receiving yardage, though, it's that rookie tight end, Bowers, leading the way with 216. Adams, who is not going to play on Sunday. We're not going to get to see the next installment of Surtain versus Adams, unfortunately, 209 yards. So the Raiders, that is, have 3 receivers. Their top 3 receivers all have more receiving yardage, Zach, than Denver's number 1, who happens to be, of course, none other than Cortland Sutton with 192, followed by Reynolds and then Humphrey. So there's your look at the head-to-head. Ronk, what's up, bro? Great to see you. Good evening, Chad and Zach on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go Bo Broncos. Always stoked to see you. And yes, D-Dub jumping back in. One of my favorite members of this community.
Thank you,
near and dear.
Thank you.
Near and dear. Saying we have and this is second super chat, we have fantastic balance on defense. The sacks are a blend of pressure and coverage. The secondary playing lights out. Moss and MacMillan, a great surprise. Hope our run game dominates the offensive game plan. this week, and the opportunity is rife. I mean, we're talking about, just as a quick reminder, I won't put it back on the screen, but the Raiders rushing defense ranks 24th in the NFL. So you're going to have a chance, Zach, to impose your will. Let's just hope Pookie's vision is back like it seemed to be last week.
And getting the running game going obviously would make things easier for Bo Nix. We would love to see that big breakout performance, the 4-touchdown, 40-point game. We'll settle for a W, but again, if that's going to happen, which it very well could, they could all come together very quickly. It could happen against this team. They are ripe for the taking, Chad.
Indeed, indeed. And for what it's worth, the game going on right now, I'm sure a lot of you have it going and you're listening to us watching the game. The Bucs are currently up on Scott's Falcons, 10-7. So I'm going to root for the Falcons to have a turn the ship around, so to speak, for our boy there. But I think we've pretty much touched on all the main topics I wanted to get to. Let me just grab a few more comments and questions. This is your two-minute warning, guys, for any burning questions, super chats. Now's the time to get them in. Nick Hale, what's up with his glorious Epiphone Les Paul Modern, I want to say. I have a guitar that has a similar hue, that similar color. It's like a satin Pelham blue, really dope. Nick says, Chad and Zach, what's your guys' opinion on getting the offense more productive and efficient and putting up more points? Love you. Y'all, we love you too, big dog. Great to see you. What's our opinion on getting the offense more productive and efficient? Zach, I'll let you start.
Well, I would love to see it happen. Obviously, I can speak for Chad, and when I say he would love that too. How can we do that? Getting the running game going consistently. You saw how much better they looked, and it's no coincidence that Bo Nix finally had a touchdown pass, his first one after Javonte started getting going in the second half. The rain started letting up. So you get Javonte, you get McLaughlin in there, maybe a little Blake Watson if they're feeling frisky, and you open the offense up for Bo Nix. That's how you become efficient and more high scoring.
Yeah, I mean, not to sound too cut and dry and vanilla, but it really does start with being more productive on the ground. And it just opens everything up, man. It puts the defense on its heels, puts you in favorable play action situations where you can actually be productive. So I think everything, look, the offensive line is pass protecting well. The receivers still aren't the greatest in terms of getting the separation. That's why it really comes down to all of your resources, all of that big brain coaching power that exists with Sean Payton and his staff. Cause it's not just Sean Payton. I mean, you've got Pete Carmichael, you got Lombardi, you got a former quarterback coaching your quarterbacks that just basically retired from playing like 2 days before he accepted the job. Like you have like a brain trust offensively. All that power is going toward how do we get the run game going, because the run game is the key to Bo Nix having bigger numbers, the receivers actually being able to, because that just, look, run game creates play action opportunity. That naturally creates better opportunity for, let's just say, Zach, from what I've seen through 4 weeks, separation challenged skill position players to, you know, have a little bit more room to work. Cody Dub, what's up, bro? Thank you. Bet Crosby holds out. Lions are wanting him and Adams. Man, the Raiders, look, Adams is kind of in a mercenary mindset. Let him go. Get what you can for him. Let him go. Exploit whoever that team is. I hope the Raiders are as dumb as to, so as to trade Max Crosby away. Like, that dude is the truth, and I hate it because he's a Raider, but that dude is legit. I'll be surprised if Crosby, if that's what he's saying here, Zach. Maybe I'm misreading the context, but Adams, I think, is almost certainly gone.
They're not trading Max Crosby. He's the face of their franchise. He's the best player on the team by far. That includes Davante Adams. Davante Adams, though, is gone, and it's only a matter of time and a matter of who he's going to land with. I have not heard Detroit. They have a bunch of weapons, including Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Tim Patrick, by the way, making plays on Monday Night Football. As a quick aside, related news here, so good to see Timmy P back on the field and doing good things there. So Devontae will be traded. I don't know that it's going to be to Detroit. I would think the Jets would jump in, or maybe the Steelers, another receiver needy team, Chad.
And it's true what Jeremy says. Max has a contract coming. So there are some constraints and some let's call it extenuating circumstances that could upset that apple cart. But again, pray that the brain trust in Vegas is dumb enough to trade away their best player. James, what's up, dude? Thanks for watching and being with us on Facebook. Hello, guys. Hope you're having a good night. Be watching in Marion, Ohio on my Sunday ticket. Hashtag Broncos MHH. See, that's the thing, dude. Broncos country is not a geographic location. James proves it. It's a state of being, baby. It's wherever you are. And James is in Marion, Ohio. Really rad. Love to see that guitar, my man. Let's get the run game going this week. Much love. Yes, indeed, bro. Maybe one of these days I'll show it to you. But okay, let me see what Mr. Producer's saying here. Jets have 9 2025 draft picks, for what it's worth, on that subject. Okay, let me see. We got from Nick. Yeah. Hang tight, guys. I'm just kind of doing a scroll through. We might be done. While I'm doing this, look, right now we have, as I say this, we have over 100 people watching with this live on YouTube. We have about a quarter of that watching live right this second on Facebook. Please, guys, make sure you like the video. It helps us so much. Like, take the time to do that. People did it on Sunday, Zach, after the game. We laid out a call to action, and two different members of our community got randomly Bo Nix jerseys for their trouble. So like the video, guys. You never know. Steve Griffith, what's up, dude? Good to see you, big dog. Yes, indeed. Better late than never. No way, Pearl. I was at the first Star Trek convention in New York City. You know, I'm not a Star Trek guy. It's a little bit more, there's not that magical element that Star Wars has for me on Star Trek, but good for you. That's cool. Zach, I'm not seeing anything we haven't already touched on in the chat. I'm just double checking here. I think we're pretty much clear. So why don't we do this? You go through our matters of biz, and I'll keep one last eye out for anything untouched.
Excellent episode, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please give us a follow on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad N. Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out MHHmerch.com. Get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at Facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if it will click, it's not going to click. Make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. There we go. But if anything, y'all, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
Yeah. Ronk saying Devon Vele is a healthy stack. I'm not sure what that means. Is he trying to say healthy scratch? I'm not sure on that one, big dog. Jeremy, we are honoring the Orange Crush on Sunday, so I hope those guys inspire us. You know, a good example of it being like an alumni celebration and how much energy that can give the team is actually from 2015. I want to say it was week 7, that Broncos Packers, and they honored the 98 world champion Broncos squad, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, Broncos put the smackdown. It was like their only super strong, like, commanding win really of that season, because Peyton shortly after that got hurt. And they won a lot of great games. Like, they had some tough wins. There's a reason they won the number one seed in the playoffs, Zach. But that was like their only real commanding win over a quality opponent. And it was a historically bad game for Aaron Rodgers, for what it's worth. And that's what those alumni, the presence and that energy that he's talking about here, the inspiration, what it can lead to. So I'm with you, Jeremy. I'm hoping, big dog, that's what we see on Sunday.
What I'm hoping to see is something like, what was it, the game that Von Miller said, we're going to kick their ass Thursday night? Cardinals, I think.
Cardinals.
Yeah. And yeah, they went out and beat them 38-10, whatever it was, 38-0. That, they, they need something like that this Sunday, and they should have the motivation from it being the Raiders, and they haven't beaten them in quite a while. But if they want to be a playoff team, if they want to be something other than a pretender or worse, irrelevant like they have been, you got to win the games. I mentioned it before that you're supposed to win, and you are supposed to win this Sunday, whether the alumni are there or not.
For guitar nerdery string guy, Chad, I see Epiphone as a beginner guitar. I like PRS on older Gibsons. For electric, Taylor Martin for acoustic. Look, dude, Epiphone, it's not beginner, it's player. To me, it's for players. Like, you can go kind of bash them up a little bit. They're pretty high quality controlled nowadays. They went through a long period where that wasn't the case. But let me tell you something, string guy. In case you don't know, I'm a huge vintage Epiphone collector. I have some dope 60s Epiphones, dude, like right after Gibson bought them. So dope, dude. And PRS, yeah. I own a couple. I only own them, though, for Scott. If Scott wasn't such a huge fan of Mark Tremonti, I wouldn't own a couple of PRSs. Like, I do that in the spirit of brotherhood for Scott because, like, he loves that dude, and that's what he plays. But, guys, a mile-high salute and a special shout-out to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters helping us keep the lights on tonight, the Papa Bear, Sam Bam, Victor Espinoza, Victor's Gaming. Don't confuse the two. The Triple C, Colby, George Fox, Michaela Parker, The Duchess, Lawrence Rivera, Chris taking his chances in the chat, chances, Zeebo down in Oz, let's see here, D-Dub from Paradise, checking in twice, The Ronk, and then, of course, last but not least, Cody Dub. Thank you, guys. Love you. Go Broncos. It's throwback time. We get to see those beautiful, beautiful throwback uniforms in the flesh. For the first time, it's the new take on the old design. So it's going to be fun to see it in action. And, of course, against a classic opponent like the Raiders, it's going to look very vintage, Zach. Can't wait. We'll see you guys, Zach and I, for the gut reaction.
Yes, sir. Have a great start to your weekend. We'll see you Sunday celebrating a Broncos win against the Raiders for once. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.